Oh yeah, we're about to get nerdy with behind-the-scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What's happening out there, crew? After Hours is starting right now, so welcome to the show. Happy Thursday to everybody. And tonight we're gonna talk about something a little different. It's not quite as nerdy as some of the stuff that we get into. Of course, I'm sure the whole thing with mobile tech and stuff like that will probably come up, but I'm going to do a little bit of talking about traveling. Most of us, I think, here on the panel, some of you out there in the chat, of course, have traveled around to do content, whether it be, you know, a gun show that you're going to, or a museum, or maybe it's just a road trip that you're going to document, right? And then, of course, there's all types of channels out there that may, they may be in the chats now. They may be watching in, or listening, rather, and replay and that sort of stuff. And kind of give them some ideas of things to look out for, not just tech when we travel, but, you know, facilitation of the travel, the plans, how we travel, getting the best prices, pieces of equipment and items that we don't need to forget, like a toothbrush, for example, body deodorant, all of that good stuff, right? So, yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about. Welcome, everybody that's on the YouTube side, and then also we've got the chat up over on the Gun Channel side as well. So we certainly welcome all those nerdy questions in either one of those chats. And if you're listening in the replay, well, that's what the comments below are for. So jump down there, put those questions, comments, concerns, gripes, whatever, and we'll try to get those taken care of. Let's run through our panel here and say hello to everybody. We'll kick this mule and get things started. We've got the gun snob in the house. What's up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Welcome. We got that guy's wife.
Hello, all, and thank you.
We've got the illustrious Budget Guns and Gear.
Hey, Clover. Thanks for the invitation.
Bet. Mr. G-Webs is with us, too.
Hey, thanks for the invite.
We've got Gizzard Gary sitting in.
Hey, thanks for the invite, Clover.
Yeah. And Ghost Tactical's here.
Yeah, I'm here in a protest. My people told me that this was sponsored by Jolt Cola, so I'm a little upset. But thanks for having me anyway.
What's the one on Apple, though? What's the one for How I Met Your Mother? What was that? Tantrum.
Tantrum, yeah.
Tantrum. Yeah, tantrum.
Tantrum. I got to pee. We may have to talk about that, too, you know, when you're out on the road. You know, I got to pee. Never take your kids, you know, because they'll be, are we there yet? Hey, some of you may have wives or husbands that do that. But, yeah, let's jump into it a little bit. And I don't know, there's a lot to talk about when we talk about travel, and I'm not real sure where to necessarily start, but you know, let's just kind of run through the panel and let's talk in general terms right now, as far as, you know, places that you travel to do content, and you know, how long ahead of time do you pre-plan for those things? I guess that's probably an important thing, because in my mind, you know, the best deals to be had, whether it's lodging or rental or airfare or stuff like that, the best deals seem to come if you plan things out months in advance. And that can be difficult for some people, especially those that have, you know, the 9-to-5s, the everyday, the regular jobs. And, you know, they don't know if they're going to be able to get off, you know, 6 months down the road. I mean, it's too far for them to put in for that time, too far down the road maybe, or something like that. It can happen. So as far as planning these trips, be it to, like I said, a museum or a trade show, gun show, whatever it might be, are you typically an early planner or a late planner Ghost?
I typically try to be an early planner. I mean, like for SHOT Show, I think I was booking stuff in September. I know that we booked the house for NRA about a month ago, but I think we all would have probably have liked to have done that before that. But I typically like to make sure that I'm at least 2 months ahead of time, if possible, for a big trip. Obviously, for like weekend trips or something like that, then we can, for a gun show or for something like that, you can maybe get a little bit away with something, you know, closer. But for the big ones, I like to be several months ahead of time.
Do you notice, do you notice price differences when you do it ahead of time? Does it seem like it's a little more,
Maybe the airlines or maybe just a little bit if you have to fly. But I, from what I've noticed, the hotels are much better deals if you get them ahead of time. The closer you get to it, they will kind of jack the prices up a little bit because they know they've got you at that point. But maybe the hotels probably the biggest difference that I've seen.
Right. Gizzard, what about you? I know you've been to Tulsa at least a few times. Do you kind of plan that out weeks or months in advance?
Well, every time I go, I think I get a little bit better at it. The time before last, the first time I went, I waited till the last minute to book my hotel, almost didn't get a room. And this last time, as soon as they had rooms available, you know, somebody had something set up, I was in there the next day getting them because I like to know I'm set to go before I leave. And that's a big weight off my shoulders, knowing I don't have to worry about, I know I've got a place to stay, and I now know what I need to plan on doing. I need to have, you know, business cards and stuff like that. So the more you do it, I think the more you learn to get things set up in advance, what you need to have and stuff like that. So it's not only a money savings, but I think it's just less headaches and less stress if you learn how to plan a little better.
Mm-hmm. Right. Ghost, we've got somebody out there that's looking for your email address. Which one's the best? Well, you're probably on mobile and not seeing it, but which one's the best one to get a hold of you?
live@ghosttactical.us is probably the best one, or info@ghosttactical.us. Either one of those two would be the best one to go for.
Okay. That'll work.
Is everything okay? I can't see. Is everything okay?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's about.
But okay.
Yeah. It's that's not good. Something about a video or questions about a video or something. Yeah, okay. Video.
Something about donating thousands and thousands of dollars. Nothing.
Yeah, just ignore it. Let it go.
His screen name is something about a Nigerian prince, though, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So all I got to do is give him like $500 and I get $5 million. I'm in.
Yeah, it just needs all your social security number, bank account number.
Yeah, send me an email and I'll give you all the information that you want.
Right. Or you could just give it to us right now over the air. I mean, that works.
My name is Ron Jeremy. My social security number is 123456789.
Right. G Webs, coming over to you. Now you've done a lot of different types of traveling, and I think unlike probably anybody else on the panel here, when we're talking about planning stuff ahead of time, you've actually documented a lot of your stuff. All through the channels that you run, the planning and everything that goes into it.
Heck yeah, I've done everything from just when it's down the street in Phoenix. I guess we've even done stuff in Tucson, right? So literally around the corner. And then, I mean, I'm technically still planning on real big trips that I'm still working and establishing, you know, precedent for. But we have experimented with going across the country in planes, you know, airplanes, super expensive, staying in hotels, renting cars, and then, you know, of course the van and everything. So I think I've done, well, probably not every type of travel coverage, but certainly explored a bunch of it.
Right. And is that all part of your, is part of your plan with doing it ahead of time? It's probably predictability, I'm guessing, and scheduling is a lot of it, but are you looking at cost and things like that? Does that play into a lot of the early planning as well?
I mean, it kind of depends on the year, right? I've been doing it for a while. So, you know, if it's a year where I'm putting more effort into travel, then obviously you can put more effort into planning. But, first I think it takes some awareness of what all the not the hiccups, I ate a tomato, sorry. So what all the potentials are, right? So one of my efforts over the last few years has been to effort as much as possible to make people aware, you know, people that are interested, aware of what options are out there. I mean, there's really a full calendar of whatever it might be. If it's industry trade shows, if it's large gun shows, if it's small gun shows, if it's hunting type, you know, conservation events, if it's competition shooting, if it's exhibition shooting, if it's collecting type of collector shows. And there's just tons of stuff out there. So almost any level of interest, or at least for me, they did, or whatever region you might be in, you know, the stuff that you can get to easily. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I guess, you know, once you're aware of what all is out there, and then you can start figuring out what's obtainable for you, then planning, I think, is critical. Again, I think look at a year, because if you know it's going to take this much effort and funding to get to this and, you know, this and this event, you know, however many events, then the more time you have to prepare for them and the more planning you put into getting ready for those events, the more opportunities you have. And like you kind of touched on, and I've mentioned it before, I mean, if you're putting any amount of effort and expense into travel, cover that, you know, don't just... The money isn't just the thing you're going to cover. It's the getting there, not just for like the B-roll type of like, you know, insight into your project or your channel or whatever you're calling it, but just, you know, the rental cars, the hotels, the bed and breakfast, the restaurants, the food, the gear, the luggage, the EDC, the apps that you're using, the software, all that stuff is of interest and potentially useful for creating a, you know, more well-rounded channel that gives you more reach, but it's just more interesting to your audience too. So there's tons of potential there, and you put so much effort time-wise and cost-wise into these things that yeah, planning gives you opportunity and the most potential.
Right now, budget, not sure if you know, where you've, I know you've been to a couple of events, or were they like day trip events, or was that something that you had to plan out ahead of time?
I try to plan everything. The USCCA thing, I plan that well ahead of time, as far as, you know, getting the car rental and booking the hotel and whatnot. For the NRA meeting that's coming up, I've had that hotel room booked for about 5 months now. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to be that guy that tried to get the hotel room at the last minute and got bent over. You know, that wasn't going to happen. So I made sure I had everything secured and ready and prepared, because, you know, I don't like to leave things like that to chance.
All right. Now, that guy's wife, we made a couple trips to Tulsa and then, of course, SHOT Show. You're a planner.
No.
For the most part.
No way. Not me.
But I think the problem is you have to, I kind of control that for the most part, right? So.
Yeah. It's different, because if I travel by myself, I'm in control of everything. But relying on you, and you're not always very good at communicating. And for me, you come off as a very fly by the seat of your pants, whatever the wind takes you, even though you probably have it planned out in your head. You're just not always telling me, or you think you've told me and you've probably told somebody else. So it just drives me nuts, because I don't really know what's happening, what's going on. But typically you and I are so opposite that our planning, or even, I mean, everything just kind of works out, because you're thinking one side of it and I'm thinking the other side of it, and it always meets in the middle.
Right. Snob, what about you? You've had, I know with the Tulsa shows, man, that's just a long haul for you, but there's still some facilitation with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I usually got to make sure my jobs for that Friday are covered if I don't work that Friday or whatever. I got everything done before then, but I'm not really a planner. I mean, a couple weeks out we plan, usually, not anything really in advance. I mean, we planned on going to Indy last May, so you know, but we didn't do anything as far as getting the rental car lined up or anything, or the house or anything, till last minute, you know, of course.
Right.
Well, when you got that kind of time, you could be putting up like a video, even if you put up a video each month, if you said, okay, I'm going in June or whatever it is, or April, I guess, you know, long time ago, then you could set up, you know, sit down, make whatever, 6 videos, 9 videos, post one a month. Hey, we're going to NRA. What do you think? Give us some feedback, you know, and then who knows what you might have put in those hooks in the water, what you might have come up with. You guys are there to make connections. What if, you know, 2 or 3 people saw a couple of those videos and gave you some direction when you get there? Or audiences, hey, what about XYZ that you didn't know about?
True.
Now let's, no, go ahead.
I was just saying, I tried to do that for the Gun Rights Policy Conference, let people know about it. I mean, the NRA show, everybody knows about it, but just in case, you know, you're telling them in November, oh, I should remember that. You might have given them a, you know, little heads up, put it in their calendar.
So let's shift gears a little bit, and let's, I don't know, this one may be, this little topic as it pertains to travel, maybe kind of a fun one. And again, it's a good time to take a break and say for those listening in replay, comments below if you've got anything. Pardon me there, I had to cough. And for the YouTube side or the Gun Channel side, if you have those nerd questions or, you know, anything as it pertains to travel. There's been a couple out there, but they've been, of course, handled in the chats. But, yeah, put them out there and we'll run those through the panel. So we're going to go back through the room. And, you know, with this, when you're, let's say you're ready, right? You've got all of your plans have been made. You've got the rental car. You're headed to the airport. You're whatever. You're on the precipice of actually getting on the road. What are those last minute things? What are last minute things that go through your mind that do I have X, Y, and Z? You know, there's things that you know without a doubt that you need and what's important to you. For whatever project you might be going on, and you want to make sure that you've got those bases covered. So those things, or is there anything that you double check to make sure? I was joking earlier about the toothbrush and the deodorant and stuff like that. Those are obviously important things. And for some people that may be the answer. But, you know, for those out there, you know, what would you suggest that they remember that they take on these trips that could be vital to them? Snob, we'll start with you.
Well, number one, I've never actually been as media to somewhere other than Tulsa, so I don't really have that experience. But number two, I'm kind of like a woman in overpack. I'm probably fixing to get yelled at for that. But I, as far as like my camera gear and stuff like that, I'll probably take pretty much everything and then just, you know, use what I decide to, but at least have it all with me. But no, I don't, you know, just the normal stuff that I'm worried about, but I've never, you know, been on the road to do it before, really, because Tulsa doesn't really count because I can come home and get it the next day.
Okay, gotcha. Now, from the female perspective, this is going to be interesting because that's a totally different game. I know, and we'll bring that guy's wife in here on that, but I know for myself, you know, I could wear the same pair of pants 3 days in a row or, you know, so I worry about different things than, and I think a lot of guys probably worry about different things. So yeah, what are your thoughts on those necessities that you've got to make sure that you have X, Y, and Z?
For me, because I have contacts, I have to make sure that I have contacts, and especially like depending on where we're going, if it's really windy, like it was really windy, in Vegas and we were going to be gone for, you know, 10 days. My contacts or bringing my glasses as my backup. That's really big for me. Making sure that I have my makeup. I'm way different than you because I can't wear one pair of jeans for 3 days. That drives me nuts. Socks are huge for me. I have to have like enough pair of socks that I can wear like 3 pair of socks a day. Even though I may not, I know that's weird. Making sure that we have drinks or snacks or something like that for in the car, even though I know we're going to stop like 1,000 times. And of course, cell phone cords, things like that. My earphones, because he hates my music. For me, it's little things that you don't realize that I start like playing over in my head what I need.
Right. Budget, what about you?
Well, obviously it depends on what I'm doing as to what my last minute worries are, but for purposes of travel for something like this, it's going to be always, no matter where I'm going, I got to worry about my meds. I got to take my insulin with me. And then for something like this, spare batteries, chargers, and you know, stuff to, and memory cards, stuff to feed the infrastructure that I got to take with me.
Now, you take, and we'll probably get into this a little later on, but do you kind of take equipment-wise everything but the kitchen sink, or do you kind of pare that down depending on, you know, the task at hand and where you're going and what you're doing and what you think you're going to need?
Exactly. Yeah, I pare it down depending upon what I'm going to be doing and where I'm going to be going. And, you know, if I'm going to be doing some outdoor stuff or whatnot, you know, I'll pack different cameras. But for, you know, it depends on what the mission is. You always, I'm sure Ghost could tell you, you tailor your equipment to the mission.
GWS, what about you? You got a whole van, so you've got a rolling, basically a rolling house there, and so you might not have to worry so much about that. You may keep most of the stuff in the van, but how do you manage those things that you more or less just can't live without when you're going out on the road?
I mean, you got pretty much everybody in here seeing the van. I don't have that much crap in there. I mean, I have stuff for like tools, so I don't have to pay for too many you know, mechanics or something along the way. But I think my advice, again, there's lots of different ways to travel, and you're all pretty much, you know, still cutting your teeth on it, is just bring an open mind and a ability to adapt and deal, because the traveling is going to be different. Even any advice I could have given you from back in the day, you know, it's not going to be even all that, you know, it's going to change over the years. So as you experience it, I'm sure, even though my advice is to take less, I'm sure that most people are going to do better by taking everything in the kitchen sink and then discovering what they don't need. It is a burden to carry extra stuff, but it's more, I think, of a hassle or a mental hassle to think that you could be doing something, you're missing something. So I don't, even though my advice is and will be, you know, continue to be, bring less stuff, do it with less stuff, especially now in the days of phones. Discover that for yourself. I might be wrong, but discover that for yourself, because nobody can tell you to bring less. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to lose something, break something, drag something. I can't tell you how many times I drag stuff along that I like literally never even used. Every year, methodically, never used it until one day I just said, nah, not bringing it anymore. And now I can't even imagine why I ever brought it along so long. So I guess that's my advice. See, there's so many different little specific things. I'm just going to say, bring an open mind.
Right. And I struggle with that even today. I mean, and we're going to get into the equipment we travel with probably next, but yeah, I struggle with taking too many equipment. I mean, at the point I've got five or six phones and a couple of cameras and a couple of microphones and the tripod and the gimbal and the blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I find myself leaving most of it in the hotel room, seems like, you know, because I don't want to tote it around on a showroom floor or a gun show floor or something like that. So I strip all of that out of my bag before I actually go to do the work. Find myself not using it, which, you know, why am I bringing it? I mean, I guess it's good to have a backup just in case. But, yeah. Now, Blitzkrieg out there, he says, he always takes body armor, rifle, spare food, and water. When he's going out for 5 hours plus, the fiance says he's excessive. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know where you're doing content where you would need necessarily that, but I guess if you're maybe hiking in the hostile mountains of Afghanistan or something like that to get your content, maybe so. It's probably a good idea.
Well, then, I guess we never talk about that, but yeah, I have a rifle always, whenever I'm more than a couple of things. In 2001, I did one of my first road trips from Arizona and drove along 10 out to, what is that, Tallahassee, Florida, and then went up the coast to D.C. I had people in D.C. back then, and I stayed there for a while in September and built a shed for them. So when I first had Oro, and anyway, that was when, did I have Oro? No, I didn't have Oro yet. But anyway, that's when 9/11 happened. So I was in D.C. when 9/11 happened and then drove home after 9/11. And I'll tell you what, no one expected that. And I will never be more than a couple hours away from my home again without a rifle, enough ammunition to come home with intent. Never.
Putting that out there. Oh, I mean, that may be something we can get into. It's actually not a topic that I was thinking about. I think too broad and too broad a swath a lot of times with these shows. But, you know, especially for us being, you know, for the most part, firearm related channels and stuff, then it makes sense a lot of times to talk about, you know, what type of, you know, protection, defensive tools, whatever do we carry with us. And that's going to depend on the trip, of course, too. Gezzard, I'll let you jump in with those, you know, what are those must-have items besides the chicken feed, of course? What's the must-have items for you?
Well, it's a little different for me because since my daughter moved where she's about an hour and a half away from me and I go to visit her every weekend, I'm used to packing up most of my gear. All the time, I've got a backpack with all my chargers, all my backup batteries are in there, laptop, iPad. I've even got a little plastic container thing that's got my stickers and stuff, my business cards and stuff that I carry around. So, but for a long trip like Tulsa, the things you don't think about and you got to make sure you have, I kind of messed up. I brought a whole bunch of sweatshirts, and then I ended up in 80-degree weather. You need to be able to go both directions on the weather.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah,
weather's welcome to Oklahoma.
You never know. Last year at the same time, we had snow. This year, we had 70s and 80s all weekend. So bring gear. You can go both directions. Secondly, if you're going to be on that floor, make sure you got shoes that are comfortable. I made that mistake. I bought a brand new pair of insoles. I hadn't broke in. They liked to kill me. Make sure you got comfortable shoes you can wear all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's often talked about but I don't know, you know, it's talked about often, but I've got a sneaking suspicion it's often overlooked as well. It's something people end up forgetting. Ghost, as far as, you know, the necessities for you, what comes to mind?
I mean, obviously you're talking toiletries and all that, and the cameras and the charging cables and the battery packs and all that. But I was going to say something similar to Gary is I always bring, you know, at least two pairs of shoes because you never know if one's going to have a blowout. I had a blowout a couple years back ago at Tulsa, I think, and always have that, always carry a jacket in the car, no matter if it's in the summertime in August, I always have a jacket. But most importantly, it sounds weird, but I always will have at least two backup phones. And luckily I use them now for content, for cameras, but what if your phone, you drop your phone or you put it in the water or whatever and you're traveling? If I've got two or three of these Galaxies, I can always take my SIM card out of the phone that breaks and put it in an old one. At least it will work enough if I get home, if my family's not worried about where I am or whatever. So having those extra phones for cameras actually works out for a backup phone as well. Or if, you know, if someone else drops their phone or their phone breaks, at least you have something to back up for someone else as well.
Yeah. You know, and if that's kind of my take on the whole phone thing as well. And even if, you know, even if somehow, you know, if it, you know, got damaged in such a way that the SIM card was damaged, I mean, there's AT&T stores, Verizon stores, whatever, and even the smallest of towns seems like nowadays. So, you know, odds are you could, you know, catch an Uber, a cab, or drive over to someplace like that at least and get that taken care of. So with me, I mean, I think about necessities and charging. Charging is definitely a big one for me. And I've recently, I use the multi chargers, and then that, thinking about that, I was thinking, okay, what are the things I'm going to throw out there when it comes around to my turn? And in thinking about these, USB multi chargers, you know, I think about the number of outlets in a lot of hotel rooms, and there's not a lot of free outlets most of the time. Couple of the ones we've stayed in recently have had actually USB plugs, one USB plug on the, unlock the alarm clock, you know, radio or whatever, which is pretty cool. But again, that's one USB plug. And then sometimes your desk area will have one, which may give you two if you're lucky. But if you're running like me, you're running these, you're running battery backups, you're running gimbals, you're running multiple phones or cameras or stuff like that, then there's just not a lot of room there to plug stuff in. And you know, there's been instances before where we've had to unplug lamps and unplug when we wasn't using them or whatever, the microwave or the refrigerator or the whatever, to be able to plug things in. So something that come to my mind is, you know, a multi USB charger is obviously a great thing to have, but a multi plug as well, like a surge protector. And you can get those travel size. You can get those that are fairly small, and even something as rudimentary as like one of the, you know, three-way little extension cord plugs or, you know, adapters or something like that, that can at least give you two, you know, extra outlets there. Those types of things I think are really beneficial. But, as far as, the equipment, specific equipment that we take, I know it's going to fall under the type of travel that we're doing. But in relationship to a lot of people out there, I know you've got those that do mobile, they do a whole lot of mobile, and then they do editing on their mobile. And then you've got those that maybe they record on their mobile, and then they do the editing on a laptop or a computer or what have you. So one thing I'm on the fence about, and that I would like to kind of run through the panel, is kind of get the consensus of when you're traveling. And again, it may be a specific task, so definitely you can caveat it however you want. But, you know, when you're traveling, do you take that computer? Do you take that laptop? Does that typically go with you, Ghost?
Yeah, I'll take the laptop. And, you know, I've used it once between the two different SHOT Shows and NRA. I've used it one time, but it's nice to have just in case you do have that one video that you're not expecting to need to get out quickly. Like you find something that's pretty cool and you might be one of the first ones to get a look at it. You want to get that out in that first day. So I always take it just in case, but I've only used it once, but I'll continue to take it, especially now I'm driving to NRA. I'll definitely be able to, you know, put in the car.
Right. Gizzard, what about you?
Okay, sorry, I got distracted in text chat. What are we talking about now?
As far as taking traveling and taking your laptop.
Do I take my laptop? Yes.
Okay.
Although I didn't have much of a chance to use it this last time because we didn't have any power to the table.
Right, which sort of changes the dynamic of, you know, should I take it in the future or maybe.
But the time before it really came in handy because I had some time to do video editing in between, you know, while I was sitting at the table. And it's nice to have if you can use it, for sure.
Right. T-Webs, with having the van, I'm guessing yours is for the most part a yes, right?
Wait, what?
I said with having the van, I said with taking your laptop and all for you, that's a yes, right?
Because you can. Oh, I guess yes, but I was gonna. I've been reading the chats too, so I was gonna answer that one with it depends on what you're doing. Like my livelihood is my laptop, so I have to bring my laptop if I go on vacation somewhere, right? If like a server goes down, you know, I have to have a laptop. So I guess I'm also old because I've been started on computers and worked my way up. So I personally can't imagine doing stuff without a laptop, but that's, you know, so I would bring one as a backup no matter what. Even if you're not able to do something at an event, like just going back to the room, and I'm just so much more proficient on a laptop, I think I'd want to, you know, I'd need a laptop for like the evening. And ideally, we were talking about a little bit, ideally, if you could do stuff in a car, like it could be so much more efficient, I would think, if a laptop was there. Because I see travel as so much downtime, so much like time when you just, you know, you're either sitting or waiting, and laptop can turn that into efficiency.
Yeah, absolutely. Budget, what about you? Travel with laptop?
Absolutely. If nothing else, for so that I can download things from my SD cards to my external hard drive. And in particular on this trip, I'm planning to do my show from the hotel on Friday. So kind of the special NRA show edition of the Ride of the People. So yeah, definitely going to be taking my laptop with me.
Okay, cool.
That's a great point about the SD card download. Great point.
Yep. Yeah, that's something that... yeah, that gets overlooked sometimes, is to make sure that, because a lot of people just have like the one SD card too. And I'm a big proponent of, if you're using SD cards, is having multiples. And a lot of people say, well, you know, my phone will take a this many gigabyte, you know, SD card. And so they run out and they get a big whatever gigabyte SD card, and things go bad, things fail. And, you know, what happens, you know, if you've got, okay, I get it, your phone will hold 256 gigabytes or whatever, or your camera or whatever it might be. I get that. And it eliminates the hassle, I guess, of having to change a card. But what if you've got, you know, split that up to say 2 128s or 4 64s? And there's a little bit of hassle in that, you know, you've got to change it every third or fourth or fifth or tenth or whatever interview or piece of content that you're doing, maybe. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the likelihood of you losing all your content is slim. And I think the same holds true. You go out, you film that one day or whatever, it's a multi-day event, get back, utilize that laptop. Now they've got adapters and other things where you can do that, of course, straight from your phone if you wanted to. But for goodness sake, I mean, get that stuff backed up, get it off of that device where, you know, if what Ghost says, you know, you drop your phone or, you know, something happens to your phone or your camera or whatever device it might be, then, you know, you haven't lost everything you got.
Hey, can I ask a question real quick? Cause I've actually been looking into this and I didn't know if anyone does, but does anyone use cloud storage to store some or back up some of their stuff?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. I'm looking into it. It seems like it's, especially for trips, it's a great place maybe to just upload it to the cloud, and then you've got it out there, I guess.
Cloud storage, I mean, there's Google, so everybody has it. Maybe you don't even realize you're using it. If you've moved a large file via email, it'll just kind of automatically go to the cloud, and then the email will just be a link to that cloud file. So you might have already used it inadvertently. But when you're dealing with people, like let's say you meet up with somebody and you do a bit of a video or something and you'd like them to take a look at it before you post it anywhere, and you don't want to have any risk of them interpreting it as it being public, even if you know that you're putting it up as a private video, let's say on a platform, you know, you just want to have it directly to them. Emails can't hold something as large as a video a lot of times, especially if it's something that's kind of raw that you're going to show them every little bit and let them, you know, edit it down or something, let's say, then that's where cloud storage is nice, because then you have a place that's yours to put it. They can look at it. You can delete it. So the cloud storage isn't like, you know, like a firearms magazine where once you load it, it's loaded and you can never use it again, right? You can keep putting data up there and deleting it, putting it up there. And I use cloud storage all the time. For Instagram, it's real handy. So you don't have to have a bunch of stuff on your phone. You can just put stuff up in the cloud and reference it.
Yeah, very cool. The one, I don't use the cloud a lot, but one of those reasons is I don't use the cloud because I never know how the internet is going to be. I mean, am I going to have good internet access? And that frame of mind for me may be changing soon because, you know, as far as being able to download it off the cloud, you know, here at the house, that may be changing. So it may be a little different scenario. And then also, with having a better phone now than I did, seems like I get better signal places and stuff like that. And I've got a better data package and things of that nature. So, that was a valid point. I'm glad it was brought up because that may be something I need to look into, you know, look into in the near future. Now,
when you go to states that don't use crude internet technology like Oklahoma, then they'll probably have better connection.
You can't complain about the cell service in Tulsa, or I can't, man. That was banging. I'd never seen the 5E or 5S or whatever they call it. That was 5 LTE or whatever. That was amazing.
Hashtag Oklahoma cutting edge.
Well, it sort of makes up for the lack of Mexican food, right?
So I heard that all their internet bits have panhandles, and that makes them difficult to stack.
Yeah, that may be true. Texas Blades out there, he says, $10 super chat. So thank you, sir, for that. Appreciate it. Says battery banks and or solar chargers are great when traveling. And yeah, there's been several that's mentioned the battery banks. I think I've got 3 or 4. One of them is actually a solar charger. Good solar chargers for that capacity. The one I got is kind of cheesy. Would it charge your phone if you had like really good sun and it was in the sun all day or something? Yeah, it probably would, but it takes a really long time. The output on it is rather horrible. So it, you know, that would be my one recommendation. If you're looking into any type of a solar charger, look at the type of, I guess watts is what it is, the amount of watts, which deals with the amperage on it. That way you're getting something that's able to charge your phone quicker. And then along those lines, I mean, don't forget, for travel, where it's in a car, or sometimes whether you're traveling by air or whatever, that those, you know, those car chargers, a lot of vehicles now, if you rent or something like that, they've likely got a USB or something like that. But I know for the rental that we got for Vegas, the cigarette lighter, you couldn't put a car charger thing in the cigarette lighter. It wouldn't work for whatever reason. And I checked the fuse. I don't know what was going on with it. Maybe they disconnected it because depending on what you plug into those, and don't ask me how I know this, but you can have an electrical fire if you're not careful.
Well, please tell.
Yeah. Well, I plugged a spotlight, rigged a spotlight up and plugged it into one. And yeah, the things under the dash began to smoke at that point. So, I can kind of see why they limit that. That guy's wife, laptop, yes or no?
Yes and no. For Vegas, I took one and actually used it. For Tulsa, I did not. But for Indy, I will be taking it because I plan on obtaining more content. And I have iPhones, which I can't have an SD card to go in.
Okay, awesome. Snob, what about you?
Yeah, I'll definitely take my laptop and stuff. Just if nothing else, like Budget said, just to jerk everything off of it and throw it on, or off the cameras and throw it on there, and that. And I make Stacy drive a lot. Like on this trip, I'll make her drive a bunch of it, so I'll be on the laptop. And that's another thing that reminds me, a power inverter. That's something I always like to take with me, and so I can charge the laptop while we're driving.
That's
You know, you could probably save a little wear and tear on your vehicle's battery system and get one of those little pedal chargers. And since your wife's driving, her put a cruise control and pedal charge your laptop for you.
That's a good point.
Or you could probably rig one up with some kind of a hand crank. You know, they got those flashlights.
Mm-hmm. There you go. She could pedal crank and hand crank.
Mm-hmm. Right. Drive with her knee.
Right. Then you can have like an MP3 going and that laptop.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That would be awesome. So, Crazy Scotsman jumped in. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
We're good, man. Hadn't seen you in a while. So, you kind of jumped into the mix here on the travel talk. what we're kind of talking about. I don't know if you've, you know, done any traveling to get content or anything like that, but you know, what we're talking about now is, do we take the laptop or not, with a lot of stuff being mobile nowadays?
Well, I have in the past. I haven't recently. Most of you guys know I got a new job, and that's why I haven't been on a lot of these chats. I work night shift now, so I miss a lot of these chats, which sucks, but it is what it is. I'm off tonight, thankfully, for the weekend. It's Easter weekend, so anyway. When I do travel, yes, I take the laptop with me, as well as a lot of SD storage. Having a lot of extra capacity for video is key.
All right. Now, we talked about that a bit earlier. I don't know if you were in here when we were talking about that. Do you go for with SD, do you go through for the big capacity card, or do you break that up among smaller cards to kind of, you know, offset the possibility of one big card with all your stuff going bad?
When I started, I started with small cards, the 4, the 6, the 8 gigs, and they worked, but I came into a lot of problems with them. So actually right now I'm on the 128 gigs. Okay. And that's what I stick with. That's what I use. And I've had zero issues since I went that way.
Gotcha. So we're going to shift gears a little bit again here. Now, Gary threw out there in the chat, I say he threw out there that, I guess he was talking about cloud storage, if I could talk properly here, that he gets 200 gigs for $299 a month. And, I mean, that's, yeah, back when I was looking at it, it was not that cheap. So that's probably something to I need to look into that could be beneficial.
And I had the free storage, and then I looked it up, great, and it's like, that's nothing. That's, you know, two cans of pop or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Who can't afford that, you know?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, let's shift gears. Let's get back into travel just a little bit. When you're looking at going somewhere, and I guess this can apply whether you're talking about the panel and everybody in the chat, whether you've actually been somewhere or not, even if you're just considering it. But what are the factors that go into, what do you factor in if you're looking at, when you're looking at driving versus flying into a place? What are the pros and cons and the things that you look for, Scotsman?
I'm sorry, say that again.
If you're traveling to do content, and you're trying to make that decision, do I drive in? You know, do I take my own car? Do I rent? Do I fly? You know, how do I get there? What factors come into play with making that decision?
Well, for me, the biggest factors there are work schedule, number one, and then how long is the gig that we're looking at? Most of the shows that I've been to are usually 2 or 3 days. So it's easy to work around the work schedule. So I'll drive. I prefer to drive if I can anyway. I'm not a huge fan of flying. I hate heights. So
right.
It is what it is there. But whenever I can, I prefer to drive. But mainly the biggest factor for me is how's it going to work out with work and fitting in that schedule.
Right. And for some people, I think that would work the opposite. I know for that was a consideration last year when I went to SHOT Show. The whole driving thing really never was able to enter the mix with me because I had some obligations I had to get back for, right? And there's no way that I could have drove that and been able to get back in time. I mean, I had to do the whole flying thing in order to make that work. So, it, you know, depending on everybody's circumstance, I guess the situation can be different. Snob, I'm sure you guys may have looked into with going to Indy next week or whatever. You know, you might have already looked into the fly versus drive thing. I don't know, but what are some of the factors that come into play with you?
Negative. I don't like to be off the ground if I don't have to be, so I was all about driving to Indy. Now, when I go to Vegas next year, I'll probably have to fly just because of the fact of I work for myself and I can't be gone any more time than I have to be. But yeah, I'm a big fan of driving. Plus, you can carry more stuff, more gear. You know, it doesn't cost you extra to take whatever you take.
Right.
As long as you get room. Right. Now, we are renting a car to go just to save money.
Right. Now, Double A out there, he's, of course, he drives a truck for a living, but he said he did 10 hours in a dump truck today, he said. So, yeah, he's one of those that I think that'd be his choice is driving. That guy's wife, I know that for, as far as for content, but you have flown, but not necessarily for the content thing. But, you know, what's your thinking when it comes to drive versus fly?
Part of it's going to be how far away is it? Am I going by myself versus going with other people? Am I taking, when our kids were small, whether the kids were going with me? It was always easier to drive, no matter how far it was with them. Yeah. Those are my biggest things. And as far as content goes, yeah, I pretty much let you decide what we're doing.
Right. Budget. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my wife has some health issues, so I need to be able to pick up and go at a moment's notice if I have to. And so I also put a limit on it of about 6 hours drive time. So, you know, flying is pretty much right out. So it's, I'll drive 6 hours or so to get somewhere, but, and I'm driving because I have to be able to get home ASAP if I need to.
Right. Well, I hear that and I laugh, I chuckle. people that live in smaller states, it's like, well, you know, I'll drive 6 hours. And what I'm talking about is I'm talking about a 20 hour or a 23 hour, or 25 hour drive, right? Much different scenario to me anyway than a 6 hour drive. So when we're talking about this, you know, perspective comes into play too.
I mean, yeah,
for me in Texas, it's 6 hours to go anywhere. That's not,
yeah, we don't, I don't live where there's miles and miles of miles and miles, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that makes a difference. G-Webs, obviously I think we know where you land, but I'll let you sort of chime in. Is there ever a breaking point, I guess, would be the question to kind of point it directly at you. Is there ever a breaking point to where you're like, well, maybe I need to leave the van and fly to this one?
Always bend like the willow so that you don't snap like the oak. So, no, I traveled by plane a couple of times, and it's way too expensive, all the things that Snob said. So I do as much, well, I literally do everything so that I can drive. Because I enjoy the country. This is an awesome country. And the only way to see it is to drive. And part of that comes from, I talked earlier about coming home in 9/11. I'd been doing road trips my whole life. That was a singularly unique experience coming home with, I don't know if you remember, if anybody traveled at all, but you saw them, even if you didn't, the thank you for traveling banners. That brought our country together in a way that nothing else ever has. So, I cherish that. I really like the time on the road and the opportunities to stop. I'll never stop at Chains if I can. Oh, occasionally I'll stop at a Long John Silver's because we don't have them out here. But aside from that, I really don't try to stop at Chains. I like to see the different flavors and nuance. So there, I can't even imagine what would, if something happened, like an emergency, I was on the other side of the country and something happened to my parents, I would fly. But to go to an event, I would do everything possible to drive to the event.
Gizzard, what about you?
Well, you know, when I was a younger man, I had family that lived down around San Antonio. It wasn't anything for me to drive all day, 12, 13 hours. But nowadays, 5 or 6 hours on the road, and I'm ready to get out and stay.
Driving a Model T back then?
Yeah, that's probably right.
Model T, it was a horse and buggy.
But, I mean, I have flown. I could probably count the times I've flown on fingers of one hand, but I have flown. I don't enjoy it too much. There's something, I like what G-Web said about having your own home base with you that's yours, that you can have your stuff in. that's important too. You feel more comfortable there than, you know, rather than being all isolated. And if you fly, then you've got to go through the trouble of renting a car, get a ride to wherever you need to go to, which is no fun. So, I can see both sides of it, but if I was going to make a long trip, I'd have to break it up into, you know, drive so many hours a day and then stop. I couldn't just drive all day, all night, like some people do, 14, 15 hours. I can't do that.
Right. Right. And it makes it a lot easier to do something like that if you, you know, can find somebody else, you know, to pick up along the way or pick you up along the way and, you know, maybe split that time up. That certainly helps too. Ghost, I know you wrestled with the whole indie thing. First you were, you know, thinking about flying, and then now it's, you know, you're leaned more toward the driving in part. So what are some of the things that factor into that for you?
Shot show, I'll always fly, unless it's something, you know. The good thing about flying to Vegas is they're cheap flights from, you know, for Vegas, it's great. So I'll probably always fly to Vegas. But I grew up flying everywhere, so in my adult years, I really enjoyed driving. And if it's anywhere within 12 hours, I'll probably drive. I do like the aspect that you can have your own vehicle. You don't have to rely on hitching rides with other people. And I know you guys were very welcoming to let me ride with you guys in Vegas, but that drove me nuts. I don't like being dependent upon somebody else, but I like driving if I can. I'm not gonna lie, I put out some pretty hellacious concerts while I'm driving. I enjoy the concerts that I can put on for everybody, and the people driving next to me know that I can get into it, and I play the steering wheel drums pretty well. So
right.
I enjoy driving. I kind of like I'm not gonna say it's an eye-opening experience, but I do love driving, and I like seeing this country and different things. So I'll drive if it's within 12 hours, much more than that I usually will fly.
Right. Now I play a mean steering wheel guitar myself, but
yeah, we need to start the band up. We need to get the band back together, you know.
Now for me, and Blitzkrieg out there has thrown out a $5 super chat, and he's got a question. It's a it's just a kind of a general question, but a rather good one for those looking to get started making content. And we'll run that through the room here in just a second. Before I do that, though, I'll talk a little bit about driving for me. All of this kind of comes together. We were talking about booking things early and all this other stuff. And if you book early, and if you pay attention to a lot of discount codes, and there's a lot of stuff out there for travel, man, your insurance company probably has some. If you're a member of any type of organization, they probably have one. There's all types of ways to save money. And one of the things that we've kind of found recently that's pretty reasonable and offsets pretty well is rentals. You can get the rentals pretty cheap for what you're actually getting when you think about it, because you're eliminating wear and tear on your vehicle. You're getting, especially if you drive a pickup truck like me, you're getting far, far better gas mileage out of it. It's got, you know, my truck's what, 13 years old. So you've got all the amenities. It's a newer vehicle. You've got all the Bluetooth and the, you know, just all the crazy, what am I thinking? A lot of times you've got the heads-up display with the GPS, and you've got, you know, just so many different features and stuff. You've got the insurance that, you know, you don't have to worry about your insurance, and you've got the roadside where, if, you know, it breaks down on the side of the interstate, you make a call, and they bring you another one, and you're on your way. And, you know, imagine being 6 hours from home. Imagine being 14 hours from home or 20 hours from home and your vehicle breaks down. I mean, how horrible is that, right? I mean, a flat, something like that, we can handle. But even a flat nowadays, something that simple you may have to run on a donut until you can find a tire shop to get another tire or whatever. So there's some hassles there.
Bunch of the stuff that you bring with your own vehicle is to support your own vehicle. So when you don't got to support the vehicle, then that leaves you to, you know, a lot less stuff that you have to bring. So if the car does break down, you know, I'm leaving some amount of tools everywhere I leave it. You know, if I was in a rental, I could bring all of my own personal stuff out of that vehicle. And then if somebody breaks in and roots around for the carjack, what do I care?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly. You can clean that thing out in the hotel parking lot or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Good point with
that. It keeps you sort of portable, where when you live out of your car, you tend to take, like I said, I put a lot of effort to not be like living in there, because you can start to, you know, pour into every little nook and cranny with little stuff, and before you know it, you've got the kitchen sink with you.
Right. So, Budget had to jump out. Definitely check out, I'll do a quick little plug for him. Check out the Budget Guns and Gear Reviews channel, and he usually joins us every week, so thanks to Budget for hopping in. And Ride of the People on Friday is one of the things he does. Now, let's go back up here real quick before we get out of here tonight. We're going to answer Blitzkrieg's question here. I'm going to run this one kind of through the panel. He says, what would you consider the beginner essentials for decent video content, budget-minded video editing, sound, etc.? And I'll hit on this first, and then we'll run it through the room. You know, a phone that does decent video, and by decent, you know, 1080p, that does the better it does with low light, I think the more pleased you're going to be with stuff. I've kind of found that out with phones, but there's quite a few out there that do really well. iPhone in particular, other than the lack of storage with iPhone that you have because you can't do the SD card thing. You know, that's one drawback to the iPhone, but the cameras are phenomenal with low light stuff. So if you're able to, like we were talking about, have a laptop or a way to pull that content off when it gets full, then you'd be okay. So, yeah, I mean, a phone with a decent camera, obviously. As far as audio, if you get into a crowded room type setting, gun show, trade show, something like that, the mic on the phone typically is not good enough. So having, depends on if you're going to interview, I guess, or if you're just talking to the camera. If you're just talking to the camera, then a lot of times just your earbuds with the microphone, those have a little bit of noise canceling tech in them, will work pretty well. If you're interviewing, you know, maybe a set of double lavalier mics, one for you, one for your guest that you can plug in, or maybe a shotgun mic, because the little shotgun mics are directional. They're only going to pick up in a certain direction. So, you know, maybe something like that to plug into your phone. And you could use that they make shotgun mics that you can kind of use as a handheld as well. So maybe something like that, just depending on what you're trying to do. But typically, if you're out on the range or you know, just doing videos there in your house, something like that, that there's not a lot of ambient noise in the background, then the microphone the on your phone is probably going to be good enough. Editing software, you know, I can't speak enough. There's some, if you're going to go all mobile, then CyberLink Power DVD or Power Director, excuse me, CyberLink Power Director does offer a free version where they put the watermark in the mobile. And it's great software. They offer the desktop version too. And interestingly enough, the desktop version, if you get the new version, you could pick that up for 50 or 60 bucks, which is a fairly minimal investment because it's going to last you years. You're really not going to have to upgrade it. I ran on the 2014 version, or the 14 version, not 2014 version, but the 14 version, for probably 4 or 5 years before I went to a new version. But the newer version is a little less resource intensive. So when you're looking at those computer needs or laptop needs for your editing, the CyberLink Power Director is a little easier on that system and will allow you to get away with a cheaper laptop. May even work well on what you've got now, you know, if you've got a computer or laptop sitting around. So that's sort of my take, but we'll run it through the room, because everybody kind of has their own thing, right? Ghost, we'll start with you. Beth, essentials for beginners.
I would say for a camera, obviously your phone is a great one, but what I would suggest doing is you can buy them online. I'll go get a Galaxy S5 or newer. And the Galaxy S5, I've got four of them. and they're great because you can go 1080p, you can go 4K with that if you'd like. But it's a great camera. That way you can utilize your phone for whatever you have to do. Not to worry about battery drain and all that. But most importantly, the Galaxy phones do take SD cards. And like we've already talked about, you can go up to 512 gigs, you know, if you wanted to do that size. But, you know, a 32 gigabyte SD card in a Galaxy S5 will get you going with anything you want, audio and all that. I would say lavalier mics. This is just me. I'm big on audio. I do not like using my just regular external mic for anything on a camera. I'll always use some sort of microphone because the quality of audio is going to be that much better. And it sounds weird, but audio is a huge thing. If audio is bad, it doesn't matter what they're seeing. They're not going to be watching it very long. So audio, I get lavalier mic or shotgun mic, but I like lavalier mics. They're so versatile. You can plug them right into your phone. Galaxy S5, you can buy those for less, like literally like $70 and you can get those anywhere online. And yeah, I use PowerDirector as well. But I would make sure that, it sounds crazy, whether it's a tripod or a gimbal, you can go buy a tripod at Walmart for $20, and you can buy on Amazon a little cell phone adapter to put on your tripod for less than $20. But having a stable camera that's not jiggling and you don't want to do this selfie shot, invest in a tripod and something like that just to stabilize the picture. I think that's crucial.
Now, one thing I didn't mention that is crucial, absolutely crucial for beginners. We've been doing this show for what, 2 years or better now, is going back and listening to the catalog and stuff on this show, right? I mean, we definitely don't want to leave that out. But shameless self-promotion there. Gizzard, budget-minded, getting started in videos. What are some of your suggestions?
Oh, well, my experience is going to be a little different than most people because I've been invested on the Apple ecosystem for several years now. So I started out with the iPhone, have the iPhone 8 now. All my video editing I do on free software that comes with the Apple products. iMovie is what I use. It's pretty decent. Now, one thing Ghost mentioned, mics. And I had never had anything before, and I didn't notice, you know, the sound being that bad. But until the gun snob gave me this rig for my phone to use at Tulsa. And it was just amazing night and day difference in the audio. So, yeah, if you've never used one, go ahead and get yourself some sort of external mic. It does make your videos just way more professional and stuff like that. And it doesn't cost that much money. So a good phone, and I can't speak from the, you know, the Windows side as to what kind of software you can get because I don't have any experience with it, unfortunately. So I'm not a good person to ask about that as far as that editing software, but definitely a good phone or something like that you can rely on, and some sort of external mic.
Stuff. G-Webs, what's your recommendations?
I don't know if I can really add too much. I've tried more expensive stuff, and it seems like a hassle. I think I haven't even heard it too much, but we used to hear people that would hesitate or delay or wait until they had equipment that they thought would be adequate for what they were hoping to do. But since the question is more budget, I think I'm assuming that implies somebody who's just interested in getting going. Mm-hmm. So everything you guys said, you know, it's good. I mean, the alternative would be, I don't see very many channels stick around long term or too many projects successful in the long term that start out with a bunch of budget. No All pun right. intended, because budget took off. But when they start their plan with a big budget for gear, they end up investing so much. There's a learning curve, and it can get frustrating. And So, if you start with simple and evolve, it allows you the opportunity to evolve to what you might be interested in.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And so I'll elaborate on that just a little bit. In that, you know, one of the most important things that you've got to realize when you're, if you're wanting to get into this, and I have long advocated that, you know, everybody needs to be turning on a camera and being part of the conversation in some way, because there may be people out there that you're the only one that are able to reach those people and open those minds. So it's very valuable having as many people in the space doing this sort of thing as we can get. And it's better to get started than wait. Always, always, always. And part of that is because you're going to have to develop a rhythm. You're going to have to develop an on-camera presence. You're going to have to get used to using whatever equipment it is and framing shots. And well, I've got, now I've got to work on all of this other nerdy stuff that we've really gotten into before on past shows with titles and tags and metadata and doing all this, this other stuff. There's all sorts of aspects beyond the gear. So don't let your fear that your gear may be limiting you. Don't let that keep you from learning all of the other stuff you need to learn. You can always upgrade gear. And even if you had the upgraded gear, you still need to learn all these other things, like being comfortable on the camera or on the microphone, or how to approach people for interviews and all of this other stuff. So there's no reason to put it off. That guy's wife, I'll let you jump in for on this one real quick. Thoughts on budget-minded gear for somebody getting started.
Okay, so I have an iPhone, and that's what I started with. And you had the software. I had used a free version, but ended up buying the Cyber, was it CyberLynx? Anyway, the video program. And then my audio, I noticed a big difference with my audio and ended up buying the lavalier mics, which made a huge difference in the videos I just put out. So
awesome. Snob. Now, Snob is going to have a different take probably because he is the snob, but we'll let him chime in anyway.
Well, like everyone else said, I would start with my phone. I didn't, because I'm anti phone just for other reasons. I just don't like having my phone tied up, and it's an iPhone, so, you know, space. So I started with just a cheap Canon Vixia HFR 800 camcorder. It's like $200 and just, you know, that cheap TacStar shotgun mic and a cheap Boya mic, and they worked fine, perfectly fine, and take great video and decent audio. But if I had it to do over again, I would start it with a GoPro, the new GoPro, and a Rode micro and a Boya lab mic and be done.
Right. Gotcha. Scotsman, let you jump in here on your thoughts on you know, equipment to get started.
I started on my phone just like most of you guys did. That's the easiest way to do it. When you get to the point where you think you want to step your game up a little bit, I went with the Canon SX530 camera. I use that for a lot of the outdoor stuff I do. And then I also have a couple of GoPros. But majority of what I do, if I'm at the reloading bench or anything like that, is all going to be on my cell phone. And I use the VideoShop editor. They have a free version and a paid version. The paid version is less than $40. And you can do a lot of different things with that. It's well worth it.
Interesting. I don't know that I've heard of that one before. So, yeah, glad to get that one out there. Now, one thing that come to mind while Scotsman was talking, he said GoPro, and I've got a GoPro as well, and I got to thinking about this because I know a lot of people that have bought GoPros at pawn shops, and I know Snob's a big fan of the pawn shop. So when you're out and you're looking for cameras and equipment, and heck, even phones and stuff like that, don't discount those, you know, those pawn shops, those secondhand stores and stuff like that, particularly if they offer any kind of warranty on their stuff. And most of the pawn shops around here, they give you 15 days or, you know, something like that. That way, at least you can get it home and tell you're not, you haven't bought a piece of junk, right? So, yeah, with that question answered, let's, I think we've pretty much hammered down the travel topic. But for anybody, if you're out there in the live chat, YouTube, gun channels, you have questions about this later on, or you're listening in a replay, then just jump down to the comments and get in there, get in touch with any of the guys as we close out here They'll kind of let you know how to get a hold of them and that kind of stuff. As far as for me, it's media at clovertac.com. If you got questions on creating stuff, whatever. I mean, we all like to talk. We like to talk firearms. We like to talk nerd stuff and various things. Yeah, get in touch with us and we'll help you out as much as we can. With that, I'm going to start sweeping floors and picking up chairs, let everybody kind of give their spiels. Scotsman, we'll start with you. What do you got going on?
Well, number one, I appreciate the link, brother, as always. Sorry I haven't been on a long time. Like I said, just working nights, it's a whole different spiel. But as for what I got going on, I got a couple of new presses. There'll be videos coming out probably this week. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot. There'll be no foreign and domestic this Sunday. I got to work overtime, so probably no foreign domestic unless we do it earlier, possibly tomorrow. So kind of keep an eye out for that. That may happen. I'm just waiting on Alan. But other than that, that's all I got. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. Thanks for jumping in. Snob.
Couldn't find my mute button. I was typing off there. Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoyed the show as always. And I will have a show Saturday night over on my channel and probably be putting out some more Wanamaker videos the next week or so before NRA. And that's all I got.
Cool. That guy's wife.
Thanks for having me. ThatGuysWifeMedia.com and Armenthea at ThatGuysWifeMedia.com. And check out Gun Gals this Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay. Cool. Mr. G-Webs.
I think we'll be doing the Daily Gun Show right after this one. Thanks for the invite.
Yep. Definitely want to go over and check out DGS. If you're still up, still got plenty of fuel in the tank. Gizzard, what you got going on?
Well, I've got Foul Territory on Friday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. I've got Early Bird Chat Sunday morning, 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Still got several videos from Wanamaker in the can, getting them ready to release, so check those out, and thanks for the invite.
You bet. Thanks for jumping in. Ghost, bring it home.
Well, it's the weekend. I know it's Easter weekend, but it's a weekend nonetheless. And get out there, shoot, get to the range, be more proficient with your firearm. Take someone with you. Make sure they have a good and safe time. That might be the difference of making them one of our own. And while you're at it, turn the camera on. Most importantly, if you do go to the range, go visit www.2afun.com. Click on the 2A Spring Challenge that Artisan Tony's doing. He's trying to get people out there to shoot. You can download and print the target. And if you do it and send him a picture of your target, you're eligible for a $100 cash prize. So if there's any other way to get you out shooting this spring, maybe $100 will do it. Thanks for having me, buddy.
You bet. Thanks for jumping in. And for everybody out there that joined us, for everybody on the YouTube side, on the Gun Channel side, thanks for the question. Thanks for all the super chat as well. Reminder on the super chat, though, I say this every now and then. I love it. I appreciate it. But just keep in mind when you super chat, Google takes an awful lot of that money. And for you drop in super chat, a lot of times you could become a patron for like an entire year over on Patreon and get extra contents and perks and hang out and do all kinds of cool stuff over there. So just keep that in mind. And with that, we're done talking nerdy for tonight, but we'll be back next week. So until then, everybody stay safe and have a good one. Bye.